The issue with p-hacking is that if you properly design your experiment in advance and you set a sample size in advance and you don't p-hack, you will also get a correlation between the p-value and the effect size and the significance when you stop and the effect size, basically. If I knew the effect size in advance and I used a hypothesis testing formula, it will tell me exactly the sample size I need to get the p-value below, let's say, 0.05 when I stop. So I will always see bigger effects correlated with lower p-values, which is what we found in the experiments. So this looks exactly as if people are great at designing experiments. They don't p-hack, they just are good at selecting sample sizes. So what we did is we tried to look at people just before they reached this 0.05 p-value threshold and just above reaching this 0.05 threshold, and trying to see if there's a jump in the probability of their stopping just when they go below 0.05. And in order to do that, you need to see their observations over time. So you need to see how the p-value of the experiment changes over time, which is usually data that you don't see at the end of the experiment. You can only see it if you can see the data while the experiment is running. And the other thing you need to think about carefully is, can people, before they log onto the platform, can they predict what the p-value will be? Because if they can predict it's going to be below 0.05, they can log on when the experiment is significant and then stop it. But if you're very, very close to 0.05, either from the left or from the right, or above or below, then it's actually very hard to predict if tomorrow you're going to be above 0.05 or below 0.05. This p-value is kind of a random walk around 0.05. And this is why we claim we are getting this clean regression discontinuity design that allows you to just above and below the threshold see if people increase their probability of stopping.